So we're in the time of year that some people call pre-Advent. In the Coptic tradition, it's already Advent. They spend 7 weeks doing Advent. And our gospel readings in particular have been pretty apocalyptic for the last few weeks. Pre-Advent will culminate next Sunday with the Feast of Christ the King, which is the feast that ties the end of the year and the beginning of the year together. And so while we've been spending our time hearing about last things and endings, we'll start talking about first things and beginnings. And Christ the King is sort of the bow that ties the circle of the year together. But today we're in the middle of Jesus preaching the apocalypse. Now just imagine if Jesus and his friends were around today. They've gone into the big city to see the sights, and they're on a tour of, say, the Crystal Cathedral. And when they end up in the tower taking in the view, one of Jesus' friends says, "Wow, teacher, check out the beautiful and ginormous buildings." I'm paraphrasing here. And Jesus says, "Do you see these great buildings? The high-rises and the museums and even this cathedral itself? Not one stone will be left upon another. All of this will be thrown down." And then a docent, hearing their conversation, calls Homeland Security, and all of them are arrested as terrorists. No. Of course, Jesus isn't making a threat or even a prediction. He is just stating a truth. Nothing lasts. Even the mountains are worn away eventually. Continents break apart and drift. The land rises and sinks. If the things that God has made are impermanent, surely nothing we humans build can endure. And the things that our buildings are built to house are even more fragile. Although the structures still stand, games and spectacles no longer fill the Colosseum. Athena's votaries do not worship in the Parthenon. Masses are no longer said in the Hagia Sophia. There are no bodies left in the Great Pyramids. Nothing we build, nothing we do, lasts forever. Most of it doesn't even last a long time. And although that has been a fundamental truth of the human experience throughout our entire existence, it is a truth to which we are extremely resistant. Every time we're confronted with the inescapable evidence of the temporary nature of our works, every time a hurricane or fire or earthquake or terrorist attack obliterates a building or a neighborhood or a cathedral, we are shocked. Not only by the destruction, but by the realization that things we thought were permanent or at least never imagined weren't going to be there for us tomorrow are now gone. But Jesus wants his followers to think about these things even while the buildings are still standing firm. So let us think about it. This building will not be here forever. It's not built as mightily as a cathedral or a pyramid. And we seem to be a magnet for speeding cars. So imagine that it's gone. Imagine fire or flood or tornado or bomb or giant sinkhole has wiped it all away. The parish hall, the classrooms, the offices, the chapel, and the sanctuary. The question for us would not be, what would we do? Not knowing what to do is not the thing that frightens us about our impermanent existence. The real question is, who would we be? That is the terrifying existential question that we have to confront when the things and the institutions that define our lives are gone. Who then are we? Would St. Edmund's continue to be a church if we didn't have this place to gather, to anchor our common life and collective memory, to be the locus of our faith and our fellowship? And what about those other things that bind us together, that give us common identity? Who would we be without our cathedral, without the National Cathedral, without the Book of Common Prayer. Jesus asks us to imagine a life without these things, not because they are bad things, or because they're likely to disappear soon. Although the temple of which Jesus was speaking was indeed completely leveled 35 years after Jesus' death. But Jesus asks us to ponder these things so that we can better understand who we are. When the temple in Jerusalem was razed by the Romans, Jewish identity was completely changed. The central rituals of Jewish religious life could only be performed in that one place. And so Jews had to figure out how to be Jews, not only without that building, but without the rituals. Jewish identity had to be redefined not in terms of annual pilgrimages and sacrifices, but in terms of diaspora and learning. Instead of the people of the temple, they once again became the people of the Exodus, of the Babylonian captivity, of the book. And what a book it is. The stories that have been handed down from generation to generation in Scripture have amazing strength and endurance. Some of them are older than the pyramids, and yet they are still fulfilling their original purpose to recount and wrestle with our encounters with the living God, to explain to us who God is and who we are. It's especially apt, then, that the Collect of the Day, our gathering prayer, asks God to help us to hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the words of that book. It was not the temple that made Jesus and his followers who they were, and it is not this building who makes us who we are. It is, in the end, our stories, the ones that have been handed down to us and the ones that we will hand down, that are our true identity and our legacy. And Jesus uses story to reshape the identity of his followers. The new stories he tells, stories and parables of healing and kindness and welcome and new life, are meant to remake his community from a fearful, militant, closed circle into a joyful, peaceful, welcoming family. The new stories Jesus tells of the reign of God are meant to be transformative. So perhaps the reason Jesus, in another version of today's gospel story, calls the destruction of familiar things, the raising of the temple, earthquakes, famines, floods, and war, the birth pangs of a new age, is because the loss of things that define us allow us to be redefined. And perhaps he calls attention to these things and tells these stories of welcome and healing and transformation and love, because with God's help, we might just be able to be remade, to live into the reign of God without necessarily having to witness the destruction of the things that define us now. If we can imagine who we would be without this building, how we could still be an embodiment of the reign of God, a joyful, peaceful, welcoming family, then maybe we can imagine how we could be that family while we are still in this building, still in this community, still in this world. Amen.